Okay, Rebbe. How are you today? Okay, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Chet, and we're holding three lines down from the top at the two dots where we got up to yesterday. And the last thing that we had learned was that there's no problem with the removal of the uterus. Actually, the last thing that we learned was about liver flukes, right? Okay, so we got up to Omer Rav Yosef bar Menuhin, Omer Rav Nachman, Reya hasmucha ledofen, ein choshishin. So let's say we've been talking about sirchot, and these sirchot are adhesions between various lobes of the lung, is what we talked about until now. We've talked about the difference of Kisidron or Shelokisidron. Talked about the Machlokas Rashi and Tosafos about what the main problem is with these sirchot, whether they're indicative of a current existing nekuva, a hole, or whether they are bound to ultimately pull apart and cause a nekuva, according to Tosafos. Here, Rav Nachman is quoted as saying that if the adhesion is from the lung to the chest cavity wall, the side of the chest cavity, so then we don't have to be worried about this problem, because since there is a stronger chance that the problem results from, the adhesion results from an impact wound to the chest rather than to the lungs, there's no reason for us to assume that there's a problem here if we can be tailor it on the side of the chest. So obviously, if we knew that this was just stomp, a regular kind of sircha that was coming from the rea, so then it would be the same as any other sircha to the rea, possibly. We'll see, of course, there's another issue over here, which is that if it's at a place where the inflation of the lungs brings it closer to the chest and therefore causes it to be the equivalent of Kisidron, so then that would also imply that this one is never considered to be a hole according to Rashi, or won't need a hole according to Tosfos, because of the fact that it was satun from the beginning by being so close to the chest. But suppose you see that the side of the sircha around the lungs, so we have now a close connection between the lung and the side of the inside of the chest wall. If the side of the lung has blisters on it, say, al tatzimachin, then we have to worry, because then it appears that there actually is something wrong with the lung side, not with the chest side. And because of that, we may in fact have ourselves a problem of a regular sircha. So what should we do? Is there any way to check it out, or are we stuck since over here the adhesion pulls the lung so close to the chest? What are we supposed to do? Amar Ravin Bar Shvuah asked early, and Ravin Bar Shvuah explained to me how we're supposed to proceed in cases like that. We bring an extremely thin and sharp knife, so Ma'itinat Sakina D'Cholish Pumei, and we carefully separate the lung from the chest wall by cutting right through the adhesion. And then we take a look and see if there's a reisa on the dolphin side. So then we can assume that the problem was from the chest, and there was a wound in the chest, and that wound had given out pus and mucus and so on, and in the end it formed an adhesion to the lung that was nearby. But if not, then we have to assume that the problem comes from a small hole in the lung, which would have also made such an adhesion, in which case it would be a trefa, even though we don't see any problem right now, and the lung seems to be airtight, so it's lo kamavka zika. But as Rashi learns, the point is that a krum sh'olam achmas maka v'reya ain't a krum, and therefore, even though, as Rashi understands it, there's always a hole, It's covered and sealed, but the seal is a patch that's only temporary. That's according to Rashi the problem. And according to Tosfos, it's obviously going to be a problem, even though it's not Mafka Zeka, because there's no hole. But there will be a hole if the problem was from the lung side, and ultimately it will be pulled apart. Rav Nechemya b'Reb Rav Yosef, Bodik le'Pishurei. Rav Nechemya b'Reb Rav Yosef, he did the standard Bedikah, even if he found that there was a Reisa in the chest, he still did the bicycle tire Bedikah by putting the lung, even though we have what to be toilet, by putting the lung into the lukewarm water, and so on. Now, we also have a different version, which relates to what we learned before, which is that the Reb Nechemya b'Reb Rav Yosef, which you claim is on the case over here, where there was a connection between the lung and the chest wall, which was an adhesion, you said that he would check in that case, but we have learned that this was referring, he was talking about Rava's case that we had 2 days ago. Well, over there, remember, that's where the beginning of the sugya was, and we actually only got to yesterday, and it belongs on the daf 2 days ago, which was a hani tarte une delay of the srichim on the day. That was the opening case, Rava's opening case. And if you have a sircha between two lobes of the lung, then letlahu b'dikuta la'achshurei. So the original statement had been that we don't have any way to be ma'asher. And on that, Rabbi Nechemya b'Reb Rav Yosef said, no, you can test it, because you could put it in the old bicycle tire test. And then he would be badik le'bishurei and see if there was no bubbling in the water. So then there was clearly no hole there. Ask the Gemara, it doesn't make any sense to learn that Rabbi Nechemya's Bedika was in the case of Ani Tarte of the Unis. That doesn't make sense at all. Here it makes sense, because over here, remember, we have a basis for understanding where the heck this Sircha is coming from, and nonetheless, it's not going to cause us a problem, because we could see if there's any kind of Reisa on the chest. So if there's a sign of some kind of problem on the chest wall when we pull away this sircha using a sharp knife, so then you could say you want to be machmir. You want to be machmir even though you have what to be tailored on. It's not a problem in the lung. It's a problem on the chest. Okay, be machmir and do the bicycle tire test. But in the case of Rava, what good is the test? Because even if it turns out that there's no bubbling in the water, you have nothing to be tailored on, because bishlama hachatalinan bedof and v'kshero. Over here, we can assume, we know the sircha came from somewhere, so it may have come from a wound in the chest wall, and we see that there is a sign of that. Masha inkein, in the case of Rava, where we have the sircha going between two lobes of the lung, so what's the difference where it came from? I don't care whether it's lobe A or lobe B. The bottom line is, Inakiv high trefa. Either one is going to cause a trefus. You have nothing to be toilet in. So what's the difference whether there's bubbling or not? Because if we hold that there was actually a hole there and now it could be repaired, the question is, Bichlal, is there really a question about this whole case? Because no matter where the hole came from, let's even say in this case, you're telling me, your version is, that Reb Nachman said it was this case where the Reya was actually, there was an indication that there was a hole in the lung and there were blisters there. That would be an indication that there's a hole and it would be a trefa. The problem is that according to Reb Nachman, even if there was a hole in the lung, there wouldn't be a tarfus over here. Why? Because Amr of Yosef Bar Menuhme, Amr of Nachman, Reb Nachman was quoted as saying that even if there's a hole in the lung, oh, I forgot the place recording. Even if there's a hole in the lung, if the lung is pressed up against the wall of the chest and the dofen is sotma'a, so now it's actually sealed by the chest wall. So then it's going to be kosher anyway. So what do I care? This whole thing doesn't make sense according to Reb Nachman. Because he says that if the lung is up against the chest wall, it's not considered to be a sircha that's pasuls. So the whole sugya falls apart. If that's what Rav Nachman said, what's all of this talk over here about bedikas and about the question of where it's coming from? Who cares? It's coming from the lung, and there's definitely a hole. But Rav Nachman holds that a hole like that is called seal, and it doesn't have a din of a treifas. How can he say over here that it's a treifa if it's coming from the lung side? It's still up against the wall of the chest. There's no problem. There's two ways for things to be up against the wall of the chest. I mean, there, hatam bimkom revita. There, he was talking about a case where the lung is always up against the wall of the chest. Over here, he's talking about a case where the sircha was pulling the lung up to the chest in a place where it normally would not have been. So it's therefore under pressure, according to Tosfos, will pull apart. And according to Rashi, it was already a hole there. And this is not a proper sealant because it was in a place where it anyway is not meant to be. And therefore, there's no pressure holding it in place. Okay. So here, where he said it's a problem, it's shaloba makam revita. It's not the place where the lung would normally have been found, and it was being pulled up to the chest by the adhesion, which was not a natural situation. And because of that, he needed to make that bedika. And where is this? The Gemara v'heichem makam revita? When you say it's a normal place where you would consider it to be sealed, what would that place be exactly? It's the chituche de uni. It's basically at the place precisely where the lung is in towards the top, where the lobes start separating. And over there, they're tightly packed in against the closing of the chest wall as it goes up into the neck at the, what we would call the top. Actually, the Gemara refers to as the bottom, but as at the top of the rib cage. So over there, you've got the three lobes and the two lobes that are going to be pressed in tightly, where the lung inflates against those ribs and the wall of the chest. And there, that's normal. And if you have some kind of adhesion there, even if the adhesion obviously was caused by some kind of problem, it doesn't matter. Because the constant pressure of the lung up against the chest wall is going to make it not considered to be a problem at all. Gufa, let's go back to what Rav Nachman said and see if we can understand it better. Gufa. Omer Rav Yosi bar Minyumi, Omer Rav Nachman. Rea shenikva v'dofen sotna ata kishera. So if you have a hole, you forget about a sircha, you know that there's a hole in the lung, and it's in a place where it's right up against the wall of the chest. So Omer Rav Yina, this idea that we have that the dofen is so tame and that's enough, it depends. If it's up against bone, bone is not going to be so tame. So if it's directly up against the ribs, that is not, it's too hard. It needs to be up against a place where there is basar. And there, not only is it up against the place where there's basar, but it has to actually be savich bebisra. It has to have grown into the meat that's around it so that there's connective tissue there and so on. And that is considered to be a stima. But there's no way that he said that if it's up against the rib cage directly, that is not considered to be a stima. Omer le Rav Yosef le Ravina. So what are you saying? Are you saying that ilo savich mai? This, by the way, is a little bit strange that Omer le Rav Yosef le Ravina, because Ravina and Rav Yosef never saw each other. So for Ravina, who lived much later than Rav Yosef, the Tosfos says this must be another Ravina. You know, apparently there were more than one person by that name. So anyway, so Rav Yosef said to Ravina, so what are you saying? That if it's not, it's a treifa? So in other words, what are you saying? That there's a hole there. Amar Rina nikuvahi. So then even if it's nikuv, if you're allowing the fact that it's nikuva, so then what good would it be to tell me that it's now connected to the meat that's around the chest wall. So the muscles there will be softer tissue, will be holding it in. The problem is that a Braita says, now this, of course, is not directly nogea our sugya, but there's an implication. So here the problem is like this. We know that if there's a hole that goes through the penis, then there's an iser for that person to marry because he's considered to be a krut shavcha. Now, over there, the hole is measured by the fact that the ejaculation is not going to be powerful enough because there's going to be leakage from that hole. So it messes up the entire reproductive process because, according to the Gemara, you need to have a strong ejaculate in order to cause pregnancy in most cases. So if that's the case, it says over there in the famous Braita that if there was a hole through the penis, then he is possible to marry Mipneshu Shotet, because instead of properly ejaculating, he just loosely allows semen out. That's no good. But if that hole becomes Nistam, so there's no problem. This is a simple logistical question. If you've got a way to ejaculate strongly, it's fine. If you don't, you don't. Now, if that's sealed up and they put a patch on it and then the skin grew over it, that's fine. At that moment, he becomes kosher again. So you can have a hole that is sealed in an organic structure, and we accept that. But the thing is that it says over there a very interesting end, which is that if Nistam kasher mipnei shumolid, if that hole gets sealed up, so then he can reproduce and there's no problem. And then it adds, v'zehu, this is the example of a psul that goes back to its hechsher by being fixed. Now, what do you mean, zehu? Zehu means it's not an example. It means this is it, man. So in other words, in all of the cases that we have organic problems because of nekuva, the only nekuva that is considered to be fixable because there's a patch over it is a penis and not a lung. And you're telling me that a lung that is nistam would be kosher. So, I mean, what is this zeo supposed to mean? Zeo lemute mai, supposed to what? Lav lemute hai gavna? Is it not? It's telling, even in this case, where there was a hole in the lung, and now it's savich bebisra. It takes time to be savich bebisra, right? I mean, that doesn't happen instantly. Savich means that it's growing in with tissues that are now mixing with each other because of the original sircha. So isn't it telling you, well, you can't fix a hole in the lung? Lav lamute ki hai gavna, it's just exactly talking about our case. You're saying that it goes back to being kosher because it's sealed? It says here, Beferish in the Braita, that it's not sealed. And you, Ravina, are no more. You can't argue on that, Braita. Says Ravina, no. This is not considered to be a hole. That's the point. What you're talking about, a hole that was characterized as a halachic hole. That's true. A halachic hole cannot be sealed. But in this case, this is not called a hole in the first place. The only holes that we consider to be a problem in the Reya is a hole that is not going to be held airtight all along the organism's life, because this is the way that the lung is usually placed, and it's going to continue functioning. So what that is talking about, it's true. It does mean not a lung, but not this case of a lung. It's lemaute krum shalamak mas maka bereya. It's referring to a case where there was a krum, so there was a membrane or a scab of some kind that was forming a membrane that was over a hole in the lung that was really over the place where there was a sircha between the unais, or even less. And that is, it's true, there's no air leakage, but that is not the same as no semen leakage. You cannot measure a lung by simply saying, is there air leakage or no air leakage? It's not so simple and grossly defined by does it work or doesn't work. The question over here is, what are the survival chances of the krum? That's the issue. And so that's what we're saying. In the event that it was a hole that was going to be kabsav, it would be so. That's not called a hole in the first place to make it possible. That's the way the Rishonim essentially understand it. Not that it was really a hole and that it became okay, but rather we define the whole up front based on its position and what the normal etiology is over here of what's happening. All right, so let's take a look about the actual case that Reb Nachman said. He claims that you can seal up a hole or keep a lung healthy by having it up against the wall of the chest. So what would you say, sir? My dear Ravina. So in other words, according to you, what are you saying over here, my dear Reb Nachman? That if the ceiling comes from the hole, it comes from the chest wall, it's okay. So let me ask you something. Suppose you then go ahead and you puncture the chest wall. What happens then? Huh? So then the chest wall is no longer a proper seal. So now we have a new trefa, a chest wall with a hole in it, in a case that the chest wall was up against the lung. So why don't we list that? Inkev bedofen lahada, if there was a hole through the outside of the chest wall, and it went into the place where the lung was attached to it, so then my, you're claiming that it's a trefa. So then why don't we list that trefa? List nekuvat hadofen. For the timex, that's a sort of silly question. I mean, obviously, that's not a new trefa. I mean, it's the same trefa, except you put it back into a situation where now it's a nekuvas hareya, and it doesn't have the sealant around the nekuvas hareya. I mean, if you think that every time that we get a new situation, we can call this a new trefa because the sealant itself should be called a trefa. So according to you, when Rabbi Yochanan was quoted, Kiyadon Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef from Rabbi Yochanan, if there's a hole in the gallbladder up against the liver, so that the liver actually is providing a sealant to that hole in the gallbladder, it's kosher. So now I ask you, and what about if there was a hole through the liver around the place where it was sealing the gallbladder, so then it should be a new trefa? So why don't we say, you should say the same thing, ilo inkev kaved lahada, my trefa. If it would go through the liver, so then it would be a trefa. So then why don't we say nekuvata kaved? It's a silly question, because clearly the point is that kinikva de lav mine, a hole which is a pagam because of a different organ, is not called a new trefa in this organ. It's the problem in the gallbladder. It's saving it true over here. There's no such thing as a hole through a chest wall that's a trefa. There's a hole through a lung. It happens to be in this case that by making a hole through the chest wall, you have reactivated a hole in the lung. So clearly we don't consider that to be a problem. So Hanani Kima Delav Minei Trefa, the trefa is not coming from the chest. The trefa is coming from the lungs. So it would be a complete mispresentation to claim that there's a trefa called a hole in the chest wall. Boy mine rabba barbarchana mishmua. Suppose there's a lot of pus in blisters on the lung. Is that okay, or is that a sign of the type of infection that is going to ultimately work its way through the lung, and therefore it should be pusle now? The Shmuel said to him, it's kosher. Now, this basically, we started off the sugya talking about different types of colors and tzmachim on the lungs. So he is going to be actually developing that sugya a little bit. So it's good that we get back to it, because now we can talk about what's in it. Is it a clear blister? Is it a pussy blister? How thick is the actual skin around the blister? So Shmuel said to him, it's kosher. So Rabbi Barbar Chana said to Shmuel, I got to tell you the truth. I also thought it was kosher. Afani Omer came, and I'm getting a lot of problems from the guys in the Beis HaMedrash, and they are claiming that I'm making a mistake. Atalmidim Mizdanzin Bedavar, you know, they're driving me nuts over here. Why? Because of Rav Mas. The Omer Rav Mas, and Rav Mas claimed that it depends what is in a blister before we're ready to be makshir. And that all the discussion we had before was only if it's filled with lymphatic fluid. But if it's filled with pus, then it's going to go ahead and work its way through, and the lung will be generated because of that, it would be pus. So he claimed that Malia Mugla Trephus, if it has pus in it, then that's a sign that it's bad news. The only time that we said before was where it's filled with clear water or lymph fluid, Mayim Zakim, that's kosher. So maybe it's not right for us to simply say, no, it's not a problem, and a blister is kosher. Because, I never heard that there's a difference, but that's what Ramasna said. No, said Shmuel, that's a well-known psak, but it has nothing to do with the lungs. That was the psak that Ramasna gave on kidney disease, that if there's problems on the kidney, that there are blisters on the kidney, then he said, if they're pus-filled blisters, then we've got a real problem over here. But when it comes to the lung, it doesn't matter. Even if it's mugla, the lung survives. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was Havikazer Basid Rabbi Yirmiyah Beshuka de Tabachi. He was following Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he wanted an opportunity when he was going by all those butcher shops that he was sure they would see various problems with the hanging animals. He wanted a chance to be able to ask Rabbi Yirmiyah, so what would the din be with this? And what would the din be with that? Anyway, so they come and they pass by these lungs that had blisters on them. So he says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rebbe, wouldn't you like some meat? We could buy some meat right here. These look like very good, tasty lungs. So Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't want to answer the question. He said, I don't have any cash. So, yeah, looks good, but Leslie Prite, I got no money. Don't worry, I have a credit card, he says. Akvanana, I'll use my credit card, and you'll pay me back. He says, Rabbi Yirmiyah, what am I going to do with you? You drive me crazy until I give you answers. My Avid Lecha, I'll tell you, or I'll have to tell you what I know, because these kind of cases would come in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he did not want to be matir them. But he knew that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon was matir them. So he would always send the person to go ask the shaila by Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, because he had a Kabbalah from Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that it was mutter. So he didn't want to be mafsid people, but he himself didn't believe it. He personally did not really have that Kabbalah. So because of that, he would send them to someone else. This is a very common practice. If you know, like I know certain priests in Yerushalayim that would be makel on a certain color of blood. So if someone would ask me that shaila, so I didn't know personally, but see, you can go to so-and-so and they're matir it. But don't ask me. So this is perfectly okay. You're not mechuyev to tell a person something that you don't know, you don't have a Kabbalah on. So therefore, he sent it to someone who did know. Another time, Rava was going also behind Rav Nachman in the Shuka. This time, it was the Shuka de Gildoy. It was the shoe market or leather market. The Amri Lava Shuka de Rabbanan was a place where they used to hang out. The Rabbanan used to hang out. Anyway, he saw lungs that were for sale over there. And they were kaima kande kande, or kenodi kenodi, which would mean that they were very large. They were larger than what had been seen before. And that, again, it's a machlokas over here. So if it's kenodi, it would mean that they were very large. The pashas and the sugya is that each one of the shaylas that we're learning talks about a larger or harder list. Some interesting old letters between the Peskin that utilize this language. It's very cute. It's hard to explain, but they utilize this language to talk about the chashivas of the person they're speaking to in terms of how great you are. So, right? So you could be Ketinre. That would be Megala what the Shita was about that particular. They would argue about the titles. But anyway, so this case was Kande Kande. And he didn't say anything. Now, I mean, if he would have held it, hey, wait a minute over here. These lungs are treif. Where's this animal? Get rid of this animal. He didn't say anything like that. No, the harm of the meaning. So, I mean, apparently he held that you don't have to answer the animal. And Rabbani and Rabasi, they were going through the market in Tveria, and Chazi Hanach Takami Tinrei. They saw even things. So Tinrei, again, this is one of the titles that was thrown around. So Tinrei means like Gibraltar, strong rocks, right? So they could use that as a title. So they were Tinrei. They were not only very large, but they were hard. And he didn't say anything to them either. So he also didn't hold that this was a treifa. Itmar. Now, okay, so this handles the questions of holes or incipient holes, which remember, the din in treifas is incipient, is as if it's already there. So that was part of the issue of Yibitrim Rashi and Taisvis. We've spoken about patches on various holes. We've spoken about the things which are not called patches on a real hole, but they mean that the hole was never called a true nekuva in the first place. We've spoken about adhesions between lobes of the lungs, between adjacent lobes of the lung, between the lung and the chest wall, between the lung and the ribs, between the lungs and connective tissue along the ribs. Now, we want to talk about the question of whether we need to be choshesh for a hole because we actually find something that could have gotten where it is by creating a hole. So let's imagine a case like this. We find a needle inside of the lung. How the heck did a needle get inside the lung? Now, look, it is possible, but extremely unlikely, that the animal was inhaling and there was a needle in a haystack, and that's where that thing came from this sugya. And so as it was taking in a nice bite of hay, it was also breathing in, and the needle went straight down the trachea. Very difficult to do. Okay, it's possible it didn't cough it up, and it actually worked its way through the trachea, got into the bronchi, and it was now found in the lungs. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it made a hole in the outside of the lung anywhere, does it? And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Hanina, they say, well, you can assume that it's kosher. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Ramani bar Patish, and Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim say it's too unlikely. Now, there's an easy way to understand the machlokas that doesn't have anything to do with where the machat came from, because there's obviously another problem. If there's a needle that's been sitting in the lungs, it has definitely wrecked the lung tissue around the needle. So you've got to worry about another problem, namely that there was certainly a chisorin bibifnim. A piece of metal in the lungs does not sit there benignly. And because of that, why don't we have to worry about a chisorin bifnim? Now remember, we had a machlokes about how to understand the Mishnah that adds a chisorin. Did that mean a chisorin bibifnim? That was the chiddush beyond nikuva. You remember this discussion. Or is the meaning of the additional point of a chisorin going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a nekev only is a nekev if it goes all the way down to the Beit HaSimpunot, but if it's a nekev that has a chisorin, then he's made that it does not have to penetrate deeply, right? Two different approaches. Okay, so then that might be the machlokas. It might simply be a question of whether the fact that the needle was there is ipso facto a chisorin bereya, and therefore means that it's possible. So lema balkamifle, should we take that approach and say that marzav chisorin bibifnim shmei chisorin? So since that metal is going to be destroying the tissue around it, it must be a chisorin, and therefore it's a treifa. The other group of shitas holds marsav eloshmei chisorin. So because of that, it's kosher. Even though, yes, we're quite certain that there was missing tissue, but we don't care about that missing tissue. Do we have to say that? Says it more, not necessarily. It may well be that everybody agrees that a kisaron mibifnim lo shmei kisaron. The question is like this. Mar savar, simpuna nakat vasoy. So one of these groups holds that, look, it's very difficult to believe that the animal ingested the needle. I mean, imagine what you'd have to go through. The animal ingested the needle. The needle worked its way out of the intestines, which is already going to cause a trephis, because if niklo hadakin, if a needle went through the intestines, then the animal would be trephic. And then because of walking and so on, the needle kept moving until it penetrated the lungs. I mean, man, oh man, this is tough to believe. So, okay. So mar sava simpuna nakat vasoi. So one holds that it made its way out of the intestines and caused trephas, and the other one holds that it went through sampunot, and it just made its way vascularly. So there's no problem. It didn't cause any kind of real nekuva. Now, there was another case where they had already cut the rea into pieces, and in one of the pieces, they find a needle. So there was no way that you could check this lung at all. So Aitula Kabe de Rebami. The other cases, you might have actually seen the needle from the outside, or you might have felt the needle, but here, it's a piece. So we have no way of knowing that the air wasn't escaping. Like this, we could check it with the bicycle pump. So they brought this to Reb Ami, and he should ask him what the din is of a needle in a case like this. And he held that it's mutter, because even if we can't actually check the outside of the lung, we don't have the whole lung, so we don't know, and we can't look and see if there was, or do the bicycle pump to check whether the lung was punctured by the needle, even so, it's so unreasonable that a needle got into a lung by working its way through from the intestines. And therefore, it's true that it's very unusual for an animal to inhale a needle by accident, but we should be semich on that. And he wanted to be matir. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu, something Rabbi Zreika said to him, wait a minute. What about the fact that the metal of the needle itself causes deterioration of the lung tissue? And therefore, we have to worry about a chisaron shebereya. Even if you don't want to talk about a nekuva mibachutz, you would have to worry about a chisaron mibifnim. Doesn't the Mishnah say, hareya shenikva osha chasra? And as we pointed out then, what do you think chasra means, for heaven's sakes? My chasra, what do you think chasra means? That it was chasra from the outside of the lungs, and then obviously even a hole, hainu nekuva. So why would we talk about chasra, el alav mibifnim, which is the way that we had initially been medayin. And that proves to us, shmamina, that a chisaron mibifnim is considered to be a chisaron, and therefore you have to passel this lung not because of nekuva, you have to passel this lung because of chasura. Okay, Lemaisa, this is not persuasive because we know the answer to that. The answer to that is what we said before. It does not mean chisaron mibifnim, it means chisaron mibachutz. So why do we need to know it? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, if it was only an ekuva without a chisaron, then it would have to get all the way to Beit HaSimpunot in order for it to be considered a trefa. Okay, so he is meida than in the case that it was a hole. That's not a puncture hole. It's a hole that has piece missing in it. That over there, it would be trefa, even if it just went through the layers in the lung, never got all the way to the inside, to the Beit HaSimpunot. Okay, but he did not paskin in the end, not because of that, because we know what the answer is, but because we couldn't check the surface of the lung, because it was only a piece, he didn't want to rely on the reasonability without supportive evidence that there was no hole in the lung. Okay, so he didn't pask. So they sent it to Rabbi Yitzhak Nafka to ask him what he wanted to do. He also said, I think it's kosher, and they attacked him in the same way. It's for Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zrika, or maybe it was the same Rabbi Zrika who goes around fighting this psak. So the Mishnah, and how do you understand that? What do you think chosra means? You think it means bibachutz? We already know nikva, so why do we need to know chosra? Hainu nikva, it must be bibifnim. And if it's bibifnim, so shmamina chisorim bibifnim is considered to be a chisorim, and we're sure that the needle definitely had messed up the adjacent tissue, and therefore you should passel it, not because of nikuva, but because of chisorim beleya. So, okay, so he also, okay, for, again, not because this is such a powerful Tanya, he didn't want to start up with the issue, because, again, he himself could not corroborate that the lung didn't have a hole. Maybe if we saw the lung, we would just see a hole, and then that would kill the whole thing. Okay, but we don't see the lung. So they sent it back to Rabbani. And this time he said, okay, I think it's trefa. So they said to him, the Talmidim said to him, what about all the Rabbi Yochanan, what about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Hanina? They all said that a needle is kosher. So now how come you're being machmir? Boy, they give him a hard time no matter what he says, right? So how come now all of a sudden you're saying that it's no good? These are pretty big Talmidei Chachamim. Are you arguing on Rabbi Hanina, on Rabbi Yochanan, on Rabbi Elazar? So Rabbi said, look, they say it's kosher, because they know why they say it's kosher. Why did they say it's kosher? Because they saw the whole lung. They saw there was no hole in the lung. So therefore they said, okay, if we don't see any hole, and we know that it's unreasonable that the needle worked its way in by cutting through the intestines, that's why they said it was kosher. But I was actually reluctant originally, and now I've decided I don't have any corroboration that there was no hole in the lung. If I could see that lung, I would have been makshir it like them. But they know why they had a right to paskin that it was kosher, but we never saw the lung. So anan me'ezet tam makshir, maybe if we would see the lung and had a hole in it, so we don't have a right. It could be if we had this lung in front of us, we would see a hole. So how can I just say, it's not reasonable? Don't talk about reasonable. First get the evidence. You don't have the evidence. Okay, now, what does that mean? It means that Rabbani is admitting that if the lung was in front of him and it didn't have a hole, then he would have said it's kosher, right? I mean, that's how he's justifying it. So time out the less, it's only because there was no lung here. But if there was a lung here and it did not have a hole, it would be kosher. But I don't get it. That doesn't make sense either, because why are you saying that it's kosher? Because it made its way through the trachea. That's what you're saying. And it didn't come by making a hole through the intestines and puncturing the lung. Look, I mean, it had to get here through the trachea. Well, so that means that it punctured the bronchi. And so you're saying, well, that's not a problem. That's inside. The problem is that Reb Nachman himself says it is a problem. The Omer Reb Nachman, Hai simpuna de reya de inkiv trefa. If the bronchial tube has a hole in it, the main bronchi, either on the right or the left, that would itself be a trefa. So now there's no answer. I mean, where did it come from? Even if it went through being inhaled down the trachea, it would have had to get into the lung, and therefore, the only way he would have done that, it didn't make a hole in the outside of the lung, but it made a hole through the bronchial tubes, and that is considered, according to Reb Nachman, to be a hole in the lung. Man. So now we've got all of these, the different ways in which this could have been a trefa. We got it all sealed up. No matter what, it's going to be a trefa, l'chora, right? No matter how it got here. So we've talked about it would be a trefa just from the fact of being there. If you hold that a chisorin berea is considered to be a chisorin, that was one issue we needed to discuss. It would be a trefa if it had cut through the intestines and worked its way in. It would be a trefa if it went through the sampunot, according to Reb Nachman. So what exactly are you saying? There's no way that it would not be a trefa. So, yes, it's true. Reb Nachman did say that. But he only said that. Remember that normally, if a needle will go through a bronchial tube, it is going into soft lung tissue, very soft lung tissue. You've seen lung tissue, right? So that is, it's sponge. It's like a sponge. So that is going to seal a hole in the bronchi. The only time that Reb Nachman said that is if it was right at a point where the tubes were splitting one from the other, and a bronchial tube has a hole in it, not up against soft lung tissue, but against another hard bronchial tube. So then, only then would it be a trefa. So now, obviously, you have no reason to assume that that's the specific location where the needle got in. It certainly is possible that it worked its way down the trachea, went through a bronchial tube, made a hole in the bronchial tube where it was up against the lung tissue, and that's where we found it. So therefore, it's not a problem. Well, is that true? I mean, didn't Reb Nachman say that in a case, you said that if they're one up against the other, well, I got news for you. Reb Nachman Paskin, the same case, now this is a very important yesod that we are about to get to. Reb Nachman said that the hadura de kanta, the inkev lahari chavre magin alei. So let's say, as you know, the intestines are coiled tightly. If there's a hole, inkev, we know that we had inkev as one of the psulim that was in the intestines, anywhere in the docking. But the hadura de kanta, which is the coiled part of the intestine, if there's a hole, and it's up against the other coil next to it, then it's sealed by the coil next to it. So if that's the case, then I'm assuming Reb Nachman would say the same thing. If it's a bronchial tube that's up against the bronchial tube, then the adjacent bronchial tube will seal the first one. That's what he said about an intestine. So it should be the same thing over here. Omer Rav Ashi, what kind of silly svara is that? Trefa is coming down. I understand. You bring a raya from one type of trefa to another type of trefa. Man, you understand how complex we're talking about organic material and different. It's ridiculous. What do you think we're talking about over here? Electrical wires. Ain't only betrefa zo domala zo. You never say something like that. Well, it looks sort of the same, you know. Intestines look sort of the same to a bronchial tube. Yeah, right. And we never say that. And listen, you want to use your svara, right? Well, if you cut it there and it's a trefa, oh, chicane, if you cut it there, it's a trefa. I got news for you. Let's say that you cut through the tzomet hagidim. Now, the tzomet hagidim is a nerve center that is right at the top of the foot. The foot, remember, looks like a leg. So people call the foot of the cow the leg of the cow, but it's not. It's exactly the same bones that are in a human foot, but they're very elongated, and therefore people think it's a leg. Now, if right at the ankle, there is what's called the tzomet hagidim, which is the nerve center, the tzomet. Still use that word, the interchange. So it's the interchange of the gidim. That is one of the trefas. Now, if you cut through the leg above that, that's even worse, right? Wrong. It's not a trefa if you cut above it. It's only if you actually cut through it. Does that make sense? No, not to your little brain. So therefore, what do you know about organic structures? So you never say such a thing. These are like such subtle things that you have no real understanding of. And therefore, really think about it. The bronchial tubes are hard and the intestines are very soft. I mean, to say that an adjacent intestine coil will prevent the hole from being called an akuva if it's up against it makes a lot more sense than to say that one bronchial tube will seal the other one. So anyway, it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. Now, there was a case where they actually found the needle. They found it in the main bronchus. So, ahi machat adishtakach besimpuna rabba dereya. So, in this case, it was in one of the primary bronchial tubes, which are the two right to the left. Those are the large bronchi. And it was found right there. So they brought it in front of the same Rabbonim, Rav Mani bar Patish and Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Shimon ben Eliakim. These were the same Rabbonim who had said before that if you find a needle, that it would be treif. And they asked, what would you say in this case? They didn't want to say it was treif. Lo amrabo, lo heter. Lo iser v'lo heter. They didn't want to say either way. Why not? Heter lo amri ba. Look, they were mekabel that a needle in the lung, you have to assume is a treif. And it's unlikely that it got there through the trachea. And then mainly you have to be concerned that the animal actually swallowed a needle. The needle is sharp, worked its way out through the intestines, and made a hole also in the lungs. So it's a double treif. They didn't want to say, therefore, that it's kosher, but they didn't want to say that it's a treif, because the whole thing that they had been taught was based on the unlikelihood of an animal inhaling a needle. But think about it. If the animal didn't inhale the needle, how the heck did it find itself right in the bronchi? I mean, I understand it. Obviously, it could have punctured its way out of the intestines, made its way into the lungs, but you're telling me, and the perfect spot in the lungs that it made its way to was right at the place that it would be anyway if it had been inhaled. I don't know anymore. So in that case, I don't want to say that this came from the intestines. There's too many coincidences. But look, it's not the way that I was taught. So I'm not going to say that it's kosher, but I'm certainly not going to say that it's the equivalent case to what I was taught, where you find a needle in a piece of the lung. So I don't want to say heter, I'm going to say iser. I'll tell you why, because if you find it in the Simpuna Rabba, makes a lot of sense to say that it must have got there in the first place through the Simpuna Rabba, which means that it would have gotten there through the trachea and not through the intestine. So Ema, if this is what happened, it's reasonable that indeed in this case, Simpuna Nakat Vasoi, it must have gotten there through the trachea. Now, there was another case where they found a machat in a piece of liver. Now, the question is, the machat is sticking out of the liver. That's what seems to be the point here. The way it's mashed from Rashi, as we're going to see. So it's sticking out of the liver, and Mar Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef held that we should assume that it's treif, and that it, not that there's a such a treif called a nekuva and nekove, but for the same reason, that it must have made its way through the intestines, the needle was eaten, and then it actually punctured its way through, so it would be a nekuva from the intestines, even if it's not a nekuva, because there's no such thing as a nekuva of the kaveh. So Rav Ashi said to him, well, I don't understand. The liver does not have a psul called nekuva, right? So let's say you would have found a needle inside of a steak. What would you have passed? Ilu ishtakach bebisra, ki agav mavetarif mar. You never would have said that if there's a needle in meat, that it's considered to be a treifa, because there's no such thing as a pagam of a nekuva in any meat. There's no such thing as a nekuva in the liver either. So, I mean, we don't say in these kind of cases that it needed to have punctured the intestines to get in there. So, who knows? Why would we consider this to be a treif? Therefore, I disagree. I say you have to look at the direction that the needle was coming from. This is where it's clear that it was sticking out. What part of the needle is facing outwards and what part is inside the cuffing. So Chazina, look at that needle, because again, what might have happened is, I mean, it's very strange, but it is possible that there was a way to get to the liver vascularly. There is? Yes. Because what could have happened, remember, and this is how Rashi understands, and again, it's important not to misunderstand. Again, it seems from Rashi that Rashi is talking about a real connection between the actual trachea and the what we called before the kavda, the kona of the kavda, which we said is almost 100% the vena cava, right? And it's mash from Rashi. He really talks about a connection between the two, which certainly there isn't. But it doesn't matter, because what it could be is that the needle actually was inhaled. Same thing that we said about the needle that we found in the lungs that was, according to those that say that it's medial term. And then it might have made a hole into the pulmonary artery, and then it might, look, this would have been the earliest example of a surgeon who's sliding that little camera through, gets into the heart, goes to the atrium, goes to the ventricle, gets out again and into the posterior vena cava, which is where it was right next to the liver. So it would be going through the liver even in many organisms. And maybe they had got into the liver. All right. So this was our earliest camera through the animal, right? So we have to see what direction is it facing, you know? So if the head of it is outside, okay, and the tip is going into the liver, so then, okay, it couldn't have gotten into out of the liver with the thicker side sticking out. It must be on its way into the liver. And in fact, it did make a hole in the intestines, and that would explain how it got over here. But if the thick part of the head of the needle is inside of the liver, so then you can assume that simpuna nakavasai. So it came through the various vascular, which was a bit complicated, and it therefore would be kosher. But this is only true if we're talking about a large needle. I mean, a small little sewing needle, the blunt part of the needle and the sharp part of the needle are not very different when it comes to liver tissue. So hani mili bealinta, this is only where we got a big needle that wouldn't have gone out with the blunt part facing outwards. But a katinta, I mean, over there, it could have gone in either direction. Loshna kupa lagav, the loshna kupa lavar, it's always going to be in the kuve nakiva. So we always have to worry that it punched its way through, coming through the intestines and going all the way through the body there. Now, well, wait a minute. Is that true? You're saying a thicker needle wouldn't have gone out with the kupa facing outwards? I mean, why? Maishnami machat shen nimtzeis ba'ovi beit hakosot. I remember the beit hakosot. Beit hakosot was the place where the cud is formed, and it came after the first stomach, so right after it got into the beit hakosot, the thickening of the walls of the beit hakosot is such, because of the heavy duty work that's done in order to crush the mixture that pours into the beit hakosot, you have to have a very thick coating. So it has a double coating, the beit hakosot, very thick. And now you open up the beit hakosot and you find a needle sticking into the wall of the beit hakosot. So now, if it's mitzad echad, so it's only through one of the linings of the beit hakosot, then it's kosher, because we don't have to assume that the needle had come in and gone through the outside. It came in It was eaten with everything else, passed into the Beit HaKrasot, and then it got embedded into the side of the Beit HaKrasot. Why assume we don't see any hole that made it look like it went through the whole thing? Now, why is that? I mean, according to you, we should take a look at whether the thick part was in the side of the Beit HaKrasot or whether the sharp part. If the sharp part is facing into the Beit HaKrasot, then it makes sense that it penetrated from the inside. But if the thicker part of the needle it is in this wall of the Beit HaKrasot, it must have been coming from the outside in. That's what you said. Benogea here, Benogea the liver, why not say the same thing, Benogea the Beit HaKrasot? It doesn't say over there in that circuit, Lichse, Ikupalavar, Ikupalakav. It didn't come up with your brilliant analysis. So how come it doesn't make a difference in the Beit HaKrasot? And you're saying it does make a difference in the liver. How do you explain that? There's no comparison. Awesome. Kiva de Yika Ochlu Mashkin, Him Ochlu Mashkin Dovku. Remember that the Beit HaKrasot is very active, and there's a lot of muscular contractions in the Beit HaKrasot, and it's filled with all types of semi-digested material. And in that case, of course, it's logical that the needle might have been pushed in. Doesn't matter if it was the blunter edge of the needle, but over here in the cavae, I mean, like, there's no activity that would have pushed a needle in. And therefore, if it's a large needle, it doesn't make sense that it was coming in from the outside with the blunt end of the needle. That simply doesn't make sense. But here, it does make sense. Okay. Woo! Boy, did we go through a lot of issues today. So not only have we spoken about inyanim of chisaron and the different approaches to chisaron, we've talked about the different sfeikas of entry points for things in the body, entry points for different organs, whether we're talking about the rea, or we're talking about the bronchi of the rea, or we're talking about the liver, or we're talking about the Beit HaKrasot. You can use the technical name, which is the reticulum. Remember, just that if you'll see that terminology to know what we refer to, that's the second stomach. And we have looked into all of the possibilities of how something, a piece of metal in the lungs, would have caused a trefa, and how we can get away with murder and claim that it was kosher, under what circumstances. And did we need to actually make an examination of the outside of the lungs in order to reach that wall? Okay, an exciting day. This is fun, isn't it? I hope it's not confusing. It's like, it's amazing stuff. Okay, Gevaldik. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. I had my own experiences with a drusa yesterday. First time in my life, I was attacked by a cat. All I was doing was walking along. I got bitten, scratched. Don't ask. I'm going to have to go to Mishra Abriyut. I have to go to the emergency room. It's absolutely crazy. But mamish, perfect for Eilut Treifas, right? So now I can talk about drusa. Okay. Go to them, everyone.